Sure. You reached the phone of Kevin Correa. Feel free to leave a message.
Wait, can we leave a message?
Name and number.
Like this?
I'll be sure to get back to you or contact me at.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Can I get a podcast? It is Wednesday, April 24th. Here on a rainy day in Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein, alongside my good friend and co-host Chris Gross. Chris, we have some business to get down to today.
Yes, and it's something we've been saying we are going to work on, I think, for the last three podcasts. We're going to get down to the business of...
Timothy Zane.
Who is Timothy Zane?
This is something that has plagued our station.
Yes.
103.3 FM ESPN, by the way. For the last probably month, right?
Yes, so if you think back, this started, a year or two ago when we found Kevin's like burner email account,
right?
Which was Timothy Zane,
which he admits is his.
Now we took it to another level when we had Kevin on the podcast about 2-3 months ago or so.
Yep.
And we asked him what Timothy Zane was about. He explained it. It was an email. He was trying to move files, so he made like this burner email account
named it Timothy Zane.
And it wasn't more than a month later when a Timothy Zane Twitter account popped up.
And you know how I found this account? Excuse me?
How?
I have my contact set up for some reason. I don't know how I did this. But whenever someone in your contacts joins Twitter, it notifies you.
Interesting.
So that's how I found the Timothy Zane account. I get that notification. 5 seconds later, I get the notification. Timothy Zane 96 is following me.
So it didn't tell you who, but it told you that someone in your contacts recently joined Twitter.
That's right.
Okay. So we've talked about it on the podcast before. We had two main suspects. One, obviously, Kevin Correa, because he was the originator of Timothy Zane.
That's right.
And two was Taylor Phillips.
That's right.
Both part-timers, both guys we've had on the podcast, actually.
Great guys.
We had... Taylor on about a month ago to preview the Rangers season.
We just need to get down to business and figure out once and for all who Timothy Zane is.
So Jeffrey, in front of me here,
I have
our evidence.
Okay.
And actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's bring on Taylor Phillips
to
the podcast.
Let's go.
And we'll help him. He's going to help us lay out the evidence, because we'll just go ahead and lay it out. We are building the case that Kevin Correa is Timothy Zane.
That's what it is.
Taylor Phillips is, you and I are we are the prosecutors in this case.
That's right.
Taylor is our main witness. He's our star witness. Kevin is going to be his own defense team. Now, Kevin doesn't know we're calling him. I told him earlier he was going to get a call from the station, so he'll answer. Now, Taylor knows what's happening. He's started to work on his case. In about 10 minutes when we call Kevin, it's going to be totally blindsided. He doesn't know what's happening.
Taylor out there at the ESPN Experience out in Pinstack and Plano, taking the time out of his day to talk to us.
All right, Jeffrey, why don't you... actually, we'll see if I... Let me just punch him up right here.
Yeah,
I believe I can
punch
just pull him up on the board.
Just punch him up.
Hello?
Hey, Taylor.
Hey.
Taylor, it's Chris and Jeffrey here on Can I Get a Podcast? And you knew we were doing this. We are ready to present our case that Kevin Correa is Timothy Zane. Now, I know you're out at the ESPN Experience at Pinstack in Plano, but are you able to get to a space where you can help provide defense that you, in fact, are not Timothy Zane?
Not only can I provide defense, I'm sitting here currently bowling our fellow 103.3 FM ESPN hosts here, Mike Peasley, Mark Elfenbein, and Tyler Sloan. I'm willing to give this case while bowling because I'm so confident that I'm not Timothy Zane.
So, you know what, Taylor? That takes a lot of confidence, and thank you for joining us here today.
Yeah, hopefully. Can you guys hear me all right? I know there's a lot of promotion. We got you.
Loud and clear, just like an innocent man should sound.
Now, Taylor, have to open this. I have one question, and it's the only question that would even come close to incriminating you as being Timothy Zane. And that question is, why are you the only follower of Timothy Zane 96?
You know, I've also wondered this. I've figured that somebody who is obviously so dedicated to our station and somebody who obviously really likes what we do, I figured I should return the favor and follow him back. And he has some quality tweets.
You know
even
what?
If they are ripping me.
You know what? That's fair. I can't argue with that one, Chris. How about you?
I'm going to give a lot of credit to what Taylor just said, because in conversations I've had with our boss here, Alan Fall, he has said he is married, the married Alan Fall. One way he said is a good way to connect with listeners is to, if you get a follow from somebody on Twitter, follow them back. And I do that. If I get someone who follows me and I know they're a fan of the station,
sure,
I will give them a follow
back.
So totally, 100%, we can let that go with Taylor. Now, Taylor was in here on Monday when we walked in and we just had a heap of evidence that I have collected and I've got in my hands here. Now, I'm going to present this evidence and I'm going to use Taylor's help. So we come in on Monday and we all have messages in our boxes.
Did I have one?
You did have one.
Oh,
you do have one from Timothy Zane. So I'll just read you some of them. Here's one to our coworker Harrison Graham. Harry, you can chat me up. TZ. Jeffrey, yours says, stop it, Jeffrey. TZ.
Why would he tell me to stop it? Is that because we're trying to figure it out?
That's incredibly vague.
It is very
vague. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he's saying stop not following him.
Now, in the two notes that I'm holding in my hand are evidence that it's Kevin. Now, the message to Taylor says, TP, your voice is heavenly, from TZ. So a positive message. The only positive one.
While not inaccurate.
It is not inaccurate. It's actually correct. And then the one that is written to Kevin, it says, Casey, you suck. Now, I would like to present this as evidence, and I want to get what you guys think on this. The only nice note is written to Taylor.
Right.
Clearly written by Kevin to try and deflect, to say, why would I write myself a
Absolutely.
Nasty note?
It's a diversion tactic.
Yes, Taylor, do you believe that this was written nice things about you as to kind of frame you as Timothy Zane?
Well, I would first like to say, yes, I do have a heavenly voice. I do appreciate
There's
Timothy
no doubt.
Zane for saying that. And I'm sure part of that praise comes from the fact that, like you guys said, I'm one of his followers on Twitter. But I'll tell you what made me know this can make my case that it's not me is I had to do the jam session karaoke segment, or Sucky Sports karaoke segment they do every Thursday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I did that filling in for DJ Ringenberg, who was on vacation. The next day when I came in, Kevin Correa was filling in for Tyler Sloan. And I had this conversation with Kevin about the karaoke stuff, and I sent him my karaoke song I did and texted it to him, to which he replied back, hey, man, you don't sound that bad on it, which is a total lie. I just sounded
Interesting.
Terrible on it.
And then, so he said
that would be the reference.
And then he writes on a note that you sound heavenly.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some sarcasm in there, but I knew, okay, I only sent this file to one person at the station, and that was Kevin Correa. The fact that he made a comment on my voice, and he wouldn't just comment on my radio SportsCenter anchor hosting voice, because they hear that all the time.
Yeah.
They feel any different about it.
I'll be damned, Chris. I'll be damned.
But my singing voice to him is heavenly, so it has to be Kevin Correa.
Now, Taylor, these messages popped up on Monday. Can you confirm when you worked at the station on Sunday versus when Kevin worked at the station on Sunday?
Yes, I came in to do the Mark Elfenbein show, who I am currently only trailing by about 8 pins in bowling right now.
Where's my dad in that bowling match?
Your dad has left. He bowled with
Paul
for a while. He is gone.
He's gone.
Elsewhere. He might be doing pop a shot.
All right.
He didn't want to challenge TP at bowling.
No. Right now the score is Peasley. He's winning 109, Elf 96. I have 89. I'm currently bowling, if you guys want play-by-play for that.
Yes, absolutely.
So
go for it.
Stepping up to the lane. I'm now rearing back. I'm firing my shot. It's nice and center. I like where this is going. And right to the right, and how about that? I got a strike. First strike of the game.
You know what, Taylor?
You get a little pause back there. That's Mike Peasley. So,
are you sure it was a strike?
I'm positive.
You're going to have to give Mike the phone and have him tell us it was a strike.
Oh, you want Mike to confirm it for me?
Yes.
Okay. Mike, you're about to talk to Jeffrey Cooperstein and Chris Gross. They want a confirmation that I got a strike.
Confirming he got a strike, and so did Tyler.
Wow. Okay, or Mike, enjoy that $10
that
Taylor just paid you. Because I know he didn't actually do it.
Oh, 20, actually.
Oh, okay.
Hey, that's
Peasley. If I got to get him to
live,
he's a big
baller out there.
Worth his while.
So continue, back to Sunday. What were the working hours on Sunday, Taylor?
My apologies. I got excited in the bowling match there. So what happened was I showed up at 6 a.m., as I normally do, to do my normal producing, I guess technical directing would be the technical title, of the Mark Elfenbein show, and that's from 7 to 9. And so I was out of there at 9, actually, on Easter Sunday. And then Harrison Graham came in after me, and he was in there for a while. But there wasn't anything in my box when I got there because I had to pull one of the ESPN Experience information sheets out to get to help when he's doing his show.
So you can confirm, Taylor, that you checked your box on Sunday morning.
I can, yeah. And Elf was there, and I saw Joseph, our other coworker, was there. And I handed that to Elf. And there was nothing else in my box other than that and a notebook, piece of notebook paper where I have some notes for other shows that I run the board for. And then I showed up Monday morning, and that note there that said, Taylor, you have a heavenly voice, TZ. I asked Tyler Sloan, who comes in and does the 5 a.m. shift on the weekdays, hey, did anybody come in today and put something in my box? And he said, no, no one's come in all day other than Alan. And so...
So unless Alan...
could be anybody else, unless Alan did it, but I mean, it wasn't... He has no idea about the whole Timothy Zane thing.
It's not Alan. Well, I'll just throw that out there.
No, that would be quite a shocker if it was.
Now,
but, no, and the last person there to run the board and be around was Kevin Correa.
Now, here was my biggest piece of evidence. We got two more pieces of evidence we got to get to before we bring Kevin on. Is the handwriting test. Now, I'm taking the note that Kevin wrote to himself.
Show it up, just so I can see.
Where he wrote KC.
Okay.
And then I'm taking, he runs our Mavs broadcast here. So I have his copy of the Mavericks instructions where he put his initials at the top.
It's now, a match, Chris.
Now, Jeffrey, I'm just going to hand these to you. Look at the K's.
Oh, yep.
Okay,
yep,
you can tell.
Yep, it's a match.
The K's are a match, and I had Taylor on Monday write out my name. The K looks completely different. So the handwriting is a 100% perfect match to Kevin. Now, here's the last piece of evidence. Taylor was up here on Monday. I had him hand me his phone so I could look on his Twitter. And there is a way on your phone on Twitter to have two different Twitter accounts on the same phone. Taylor, unless he was lying, said he didn't know how to pick a different account. And so I just kind of snatched the phone out of his hand and looked. There was not another account linked to his phone. Now, that's not 100% proof that it's not him. But this thing was...
I made sure to delete my Clayton Kershaw postseason defending burner account.
Hey.
So you didn't see that.
Well, Taylor... You've presented all your evidence. We can clear your name, and you are not Timothy Zane, so congratulations for that. Have fun bowling out there at Pinstack in Plano. Tell everyone hello.
Actually, Taylor, do you want to stick around while we bring Kevin on so you can defend yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Taylor can stick around. If Taylor can stick around, you're going to bowl again while you're on air with us?
Yeah, I just did. I got a 6, and then unfortunately I choked and got a gutter. So I'm trailing. I'm currently in second place.
Why don't you give Jeffrey a quick bowling score rundown right now from the ESPN Experience at Pinstack in Plano while I get Kevin dialed up.
All right, so we're in the ninth frame right now. Mike Beasley has 128. Mark Elfenbein has 109. Yours truly, Taylor Phillips, has 111, and Tyler Sloan coming up in the rear at 103.
You
so
know
he's
what?
Currently in last place.
I always pegged Peasley as a good bowler.
He just got a strike in the 10th frame. He's putting the foot down. Oh, he's showboating a little bit. He's putting some pelvic thrust in there.
I love it.
There's some confetti now. He's still got two more rolls. Peasley now is a commanding 148. This is not
okay.
Good,
all right, here we go. Let's dial Kevin up here.
All right, here we go. He doesn't want to answer. That's interesting.
An innocent man would have answered his phone quicker.
You reached the phone of Kevin Correa. Sorry.
Oh, what a...
Feel free to leave a message.
Wait, can we leave a message?
Name and number,
to him like this?
I'll be sure to get back to you or contact me at...
He's actually calling us back. Here we go.
Here we go.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Kevin, you're on Can I Get a Podcast? This is Chris Gross. You're with Jeffrey Cooperstein,
Kevin,
and
up?
Taylor Phillips on the line. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're great. We're great.
We're doing good. You won't be so good after the end of this podcast. We've just presented evidence that Taylor Phillips is not Timothy Zane, and we have proven that by notes that you've left, the absence of evidence on Taylor's phone, and matching up handwriting, that you are, in fact, Timothy Zane. What do you have to say for yourself?
First of all, this is not my first time being accused by three white guys.
Whoa! He pulls the race card right out of the bat.
Oh, that's just saying. All right. Secondly, I just have to say this. All right, a little background research of my own, I can safely deduce that the Twitter messages on the Twitter account known as TimothyZane96 did not originate from my location in Arlington, Texas. It, in fact, originated in Allen, Texas. Now, which one of us here lives in Allen? Does anybody know?
Oh, interesting. I believe that is Taylor Phillips.
This is true. I do reside in Allen. Guys, I just got a 9 in the 10th frame. Dang it.
Love it.
I'm just saying.
Well,
look,
Kevin, here's the deal.
I'm an hour away.
This isn't the O.J. Simpson prosecution team, so we are not going to lose this case. We have hard evidence. The K on your Mavericks broadcast instruction sheet matches the K that you wrote in multiple notes to everyone here at the station. And furthermore, Kevin Correa, you don't follow yourself on Twitter, which is a reverse psychology tactic in order to make people think you are not Timothy Zane when in fact you are.
Using that evidence that you just pointed out, Jeffrey, just want to say this, all right? Taylor was the very first person to follow the Timothy Zane account before anybody else. Then he quickly unfollowed. Why was that?
Now,
why is that?
It's funny you bring that up because we've actually laid out that it was a nice thing that Taylor did to try because he thought this was a fan of the station.
Right, so he wanted to follow him so he could interact with the fan of the
station.
We've
already dismissed that as evidence. So you're still very close to being found guilty unless you have anything else to say for yourself.
The only thing I can say is, look, guys, I wasn't the one who made fun of Timothy Zane first. I didn't even know Timothy Zane was a thing until not even a month ago.
Kevin, that's not true. You created an email that had Timothy Zane in it.
The email account was before it even blew up, though.
Okay, we can answer this for a fact. Is the Timothy Zane email account your email account? Did you create that email account?
It was. It is not anymore.
It was.
That account is defunct.
Uh-huh.
Now, Taylor, do you have an email account that has anything to do with a Timothy Zane?
No, I do not. And, guys, I have some breaking news from the bowling game here. Tyler Sloan came alive in the last three frames.
T-Sloan!
He went strike, 8 spare, and then, guys, he got a turkey in the 10th frame. Woo! But Mike Teasley is your winner with 157. Tyler Sloan, 143. I got a 9 and then did not pick up the spare, so I come in third at 120. Mark Elfenbein, 118.
Ooh, Elf. Really disappointed
come on,
in
Elf.
I'm really disappointed there.
He bowled like a 176 earlier, so that's pretty impressive.
Look, I'm going to give Taylor some credit here for creativity. This is why I say that I think he is the one behind the Timothy Zane account. One, his drops on the air are always hilarious. When he produces the Elfenbein Show, it's amazing. I will say it is impeccably produced.
Kevin, this is some diversion tactic. You wrote Taylor Phillips a letter saying his voice is heavenly, and every other person you wrote negative letters to. Kevin, we know it's you. If you just admit it, we can all move on with our lives.
I refuse to admit that, which I did not do.
Well, Kevin, you're going to be found guilty. You're going to be found guilty. So it's either admit it and live on with your life, or be found guilty
and
just not.
But Kevin, the thing that I brought in my defense for myself was that my message from Timothy Zane said, Taylor, you have a heavenly voice. And the only person at the station that I sent my copy of my version of Coming to Your City by Big and Rich for Jam Session Karaoke, I only texted that to you, and you were talking to me about my singing voice.
That's only so Kevin Correa Soto. I'm sorry to use your full name, but, I mean, this is a trial here.
Wow. Gonna put my full name out there. That's disrespectful,
like,
Jeffrey.
Like, how does Timothy Zane know about my heavenly singing voice?
That's what I'm saying.
It's almost like you were on the air at some point singing karaoke, Taylor.
Ooh.
I mean, he could have been talking about my broadcasting voice. That's
Kevin.
Possible, but...
Here's the last thing I'm going to say on this. I just went through and looked at all of Timothy Zane's tweets. None of them were tagged from Allen. They all said via Twitter for iPhone. So we can't say that Kevin is out here providing
Taylor,
false evidence.
Wait, no, Taylor has an iPhone too.
Yeah, they both have iPhones.
I have an iPhone.
So, but you know what? Jeffrey and I, we are not cruel prosecutors here.
Sure, absolutely.
We are willing to give a plea deal. So, Kevin... You admit guilt, and we will let you off the hook. We will not prosecute you to the full extent that we were going to before
you will, this. You will be exonerated if you admit you are Timothy Zane.
Walk free?
I didn't... just want to point this out again, guys. three white guys on one brown man. Just want to say that's all it is.
I knew that, right? I knew that one was coming, actually.
So is that your final answer? You're not admitting your guilt?
I am not admitting my guilt. 100% not.
Kevin, you are guilty. Goodbye.
Oh, my goodness.
Kevin is, we've dropped the line.
Kevin's guilty. I mean, we know it's Kevin.
It's nobody else. It could. It has to be him. The handwriting was perfect.
I'm just glad we got this out of the way, because
if a real criminal would know to just print that out.
That's right.
Yes.
Times New Roman.
Even Times New Roman 12-point double spaced. Even if Kevin Correa will not admit he is Timothy Zane, I have the peace of mind knowing,
yes,
beyond a reasonable doubt, Kevin Correa is Timothy Zane.
Taylor, I would like to apologize for Jeffrey and I considering you as a suspect in this case, but we appreciate you coming on and being our star witness in the proof that it is Kevin Correa,
yes,
who is Timothy Zane.
Thank you so much, Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'm a huge fan of Can I Get a Podcast, and I know you guys are the most fair hosts out there when it comes to the judicial system. And I just had to defend my name, and you guys have been nothing but great to me, so I appreciate you guys having me on to defend my name and my honor.
Thank you, Taylor. Have a good one, bud.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you down the line.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I mean, what can you say?
The evidence.
What can you say?
The evidence stacks up against one man, and it's Kevin Correa.
That's right. But Kevin Correa won't admit he's guilty.
And just
and
by...
I wish you wouldn't have hung up on him so we could just keep badgering him.
I think everything that needed to be said by Kevin, he was going to play the race card every time, I feel like.
Well, absolutely.
And I just need to lay that out there. Jeffrey Cooperstein, Chris Gross, Taylor Phillips definitely are not racist. If we had evidence that it was Taylor, we would have gone after Taylor and we would have used Kevin on our prosecutorial team.
There's no doubt, but that's not how it works.
There is no racism on this side of the podcast. Absolutely not.
None.
Jeffrey, this was good.
Dude,
I'm glad we got this taken care of.
I am too, but there's still that little piece of me out there that is annoyed because Kevin won't admit it.
Yes, and I think he's going, you know what, it'll be interesting. We need to stay tuned to the Twitter account to see if it gets more active.
Oh, sure. Oh, I'm turning on notifications. No, you know what? Because that means I'd have to follow it,
yeah.
And I ain't following Timothy Zane.
Don't follow Timothy Zane 96. Well, that's our investigation. Jeffrey, there's actually, real quick, one more thing I wanted to get to before we close out
sure.
the podcast here. And I think that was something we'd been teasing, that investigation, for a while. And I think we actually did a bang-up job of investigating,
I would say we
case.
Did pretty good.
I think a jury of Kevin's peers would find him guilty.
With beyond reasonable doubt.
So I wanted to get to this. And it's actually been it started as an issue at the station, like here at the station yesterday. And it actually blew up to take over way more than just that. It actually like invaded like DFW journalism / anyone in the sports field as a whole. And it started as a tweet from our own Steve Dennis,
yes,
who's host of DAC. And I'm going to go, let me go back to find the tweet here. This was Monday night during the Stars game, where they would eventually clinch a victory over the Predators. He tweeted, "Why do most DFW media types openly root for the Stars? Is it because of guilt for not covering them much? Or is journalistic behavior out the window because they don't cover them much?" Interesting. And I just wanted to bring this up to you, where you cross paths real nicely as both a fan and a member of the sports media.
Yes.
Just what are your thoughts on Steve's tweet and just kind of the explosion of Twitter and all that came after this?
I think he has a point to a degree. There are varying degrees of homerism. And I think I'll be the first to admit I'm a Dallas sports fan. That's no secret. But when you go to work, when you go into the locker room, you go into the press box, that's thrown out the window. And you're there to do your job, nothing more, nothing less. And I don't think it's very hard to be able to turn that switch on and off. I'm a huge Rangers fan, but when I go to Rangers games, I'm there to do my job. If the Rangers lose a heartbreaking game, I'm going to ask the necessary questions that need to be asked. It's not something that I don't want to do because, you know, I'm a big Rangers fan. I don't have that problem. I don't think a lot of people in DFW do have that problem.
Yeah.
But I understand where he's coming from, because there are some beat writers in this area who do root for their teams and, you know, are hesitant to write bad things about,
yes,
some of the players.
And I think that's where you get into the issue. The main thing, and it's like, It's like politics. It's really just like our culture in general today, where you swing so far to one side. And I think that was the main issue with this conversation, where there's a nice place to rest in the middle. And I think that's where things are actually right, where now if you're a journalist, you are taught that you check your bias at the door. You have to be objective.
Sure.
But that doesn't really apply to, say, radio hosts or other people in the media who aren't out there covering a team in the locker room every day.
That's right.
I will say, if you want to be a fan, if you want to root for a team, that's fine. I'm not going to blame you for it. But you also can't, on the flip side, expect me to put a 100% belief into your journalistic ethics, because if you're all buddy-buddy with the guys, how can I also expect you to turn around and write something bad about them?
Absolutely, and I agree with that. And I, like I said, I think there's a fine line between all of this. Like, I know I keep using this example. I am a Rangers fan, but yeah. I go in the locker room. It's not like I'm, you know, chatting up Joey Gallo asking what he did last night, or, you know, chatting up Mike Minor asking where he's going for dinner after the game. It's not like that. It's, I mean, once you walk into that room, you check it at the door and you're there to do your job.
And I think there's a difference too between like rooting for a team and wanting a player to have success. Like, everybody in this market from very early on wanted something special for Dirk, especially after 2006.
Absolutely.
Everybody was rooting for Dirk to win a title. Now, does that mean you are openly rooting and cheering for the Mavericks? No. You have to put that barrier at the door. It's just like saying, Jeffrey, I want you to succeed in wherever you go. Now, if you went to a competing wherever from where I was at, that doesn't mean I wouldn't root for you. I would obviously want you to have success, but I'm not also going to be rooting for the company or the place where you're at if it's competing with the company I'm working at.
Yeah.
So there's a way to say, I want this guy to have success. I want him to accomplish good things, big things, but there's a fine line between openly rooting like for a team and then just, I think, on the flip side, which is where Steve Dennis wanted, where it's rigid and you can't show any kind of emotion.
Yes, and that's, and I think there is that middle ground or whatever, but his example that he gave with the Stars, I mean, I don't see many media types openly rooting for the Stars. Like, I don't see Matt DeFranks of the Dallas Morning News. He's not a Stars fan.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that. I don't see Sean Shapiro rooting for the Stars. Those guys do a great job, by the way, of covering the team. And I'm not sure where this is coming from. Maybe it's just recency bias because they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And everyone's excited, but I don't know. I don't know.
I think part of it, too, is like us. Like, radio guys are different. Like, we're not in the locker room every day. And so you don't have to kind of defend that and say, hey, I'm chatting up. I have so-and-so's phone number, or I know about this guy's wife and his kids, and I'm going to now come on the air and be put into a situation where sometimes I may have to bash him. We're not really, so, like, radio types are different because you're not in there in the Stars locker room every day. And hey, if fans want to listen to fans talk about it, okay, that's great. Then it works better. But I don't know. I think, like most things on Twitter, this blew up to a place it shouldn't have exploded to.
Yeah, no, it definitely got out of hand there. And, that, you know, that happens a lot on Twitter.com. But, you know, here we are. The times are changing, like Steve Dennis said, whether that was tongue-in-cheek or not. And we're just going to go from here, and we'll see.
I'm glad we got that wrapped up. I'm glad we got the mystery of Timothy Zane wrapped up. We're going to wrap things up like we always do here on the podcast. It's the 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want, but when those 24 seconds are up, you must stop talking, and we go to the other person. I'll start here, Jeffrey. Got my tickets to see Avengers Endgame, going on Sunday to see it, but that means I'm going like almost 3 days after it comes out. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I really don't want to stay off Twitter. I also don't want to have to like go in and mute certain words. I'm going to put the faith in humanity that I can go 3 days without having the movie spoiled for me by somebody on Twitter.
That is perhaps the most dangerous thing you've ever done in your life.
It's very dangerous. But I'm too lazy to like want to go in and mute words because then I'm going to forget about it.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to have to stay off Twitter for 3 days. So I'm just taking the lazy option here.
Fair enough.
Jeffrey, that was my 24 seconds. Let's go to you. Your 24 seconds begin now.
I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was like yesterday afternoon, Twitter unveiled a new desktop browser I'll call it an app. Completely revamped from old Twitter, and it freaking sucks. It is literally the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not user-friendly. It's hard to tweet on it, but they let you revert back to the old version of Twitter. So I'm there, and God forbid if they make it permanent, I will be mad.
What do you mean revert to the old version of Twitter?
So, like the normal desktop version of Twitter that we've seen for the last, 7 years or so.
Yeah.
You can hit a button and go back from the new version to the current version. So this is a beta test.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so you can revert back to the current version.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't.
I think if you make something new, the first goal should be making it user-friendly.
It is, and it's not.
Yeah, it's very sad. Jeffrey, you can find us, as always, on KESN1033.com/podcast. That's the place to check us out. Our whole archive of old episodes can be found there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. That way, when an episode goes up, it's right there in your feed, just ready to be downloaded, and you can take on the go. Follow Jeffrey on Twitter at jcoopjr27. Follow me at Chris is Gross, KRISISGROSS. But that can only do so much to spread the podcast. The other way to do it is to tell your friends who you are defending in court. Maybe tell someone who's recently been prosecuted and might be spending time in the clink. Good way to pass time in jail.
No doubt.
To listen to the podcast. But Jeffrey, the most important person you have to tell is...
your former wife.
Your ex-wife. That's a real interesting way to explain it. Your former wife.
What it is, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Your ex-wife. But that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back. We're talking sports next week here on Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.